And good morning. I'm Rick Hansen with a check of the news brought to you by Cass County Health System, Cass County Memorial Hospital in Atlantic. And in our local news this morning, Interstate 80 is blocked at the 63-mile marker westbound in Cass County due to an accident involving a semi and a car. The incident took place in the construction zone. The driver of the semi reportedly hit his head on the steering wheel and requested to be checked out. The other vehicle was in the median. Cass EMS, Anita Rescue, and Wyota Fire were dispatched to the scene at around 6:50 a.m. There are currently no other details available. And while some cities, including Audubon, have canceled Halloween this year over fears of spreading the coronavirus, Atlantic still plans to hold trick-or-treating on October 31st from 4:30 until 6 p.m. Atlantic Mayor Dave Jones said during Wednesday's city council meeting things will be a little different this year, however, than in years past.
But ask people to have masks on if they're handing candy out. Try not to put a bowl out there so they can all reach in and get it. We're going to ask parents, you know, they're going to have a mask on, maybe have them put a mask. Stay with your family members, basically. Mm-hmm. That's the whole thing behind it. So just be safe, be courteous.
There won't be any downtown business trick-or-treating this year due to COVID-19. In other business, the Atlantic City Council passed by a vote of 5-2 the second reading of an ordinance amending the city's code of ordinances with regard to the expansion of a two-way stop at 22nd and Olive to a four-way, and from a two-way stop at 32nd and Chestnut to a three-way stop. The proposed changes are to encourage traffic to slow down before they enter the city. Councilpersons Cassidy and Summers voted against the measure. Atlantic residents Dale Gross and Dale Ritalik spoke out against the plan, which the mayor contends will prevent accidents from happening at those locations. Gross said there's been no evidence or records he could find of 22nd and Olive being a hotspot for accidents. He says a 35-mile-per-hour speed limit is enough to prevent crashes.
It's open country. I respect the 35. Because it is a residential area. I have no problem with that. So the speed limit is okay in my mind. But stop signs are to prevent accidents, not speeding. And if that's the issue, this is the wrong ordinance. And I say no four-way sign at that intersection. And if you decide that you're going to reconsider it, I would certainly think go the other way. Get a three-way stop sign. And if you're southbound on Olive Street, you can turn up 22nd Street. The other three directions have to sign.
And Dale Ritalik reiterated his statement from the council meeting 2 weeks ago and agreeing that if the city's goal is to reduce speeding, increase the number of tickets, or install speed bumps. Councilman Pat McCurdy, who voted to approve the second reading, said he's spoken with four people who live in the area who are in favor of a four-way stop at 22nd and Olive because of what is perceived to be an increased truck traffic, especially from the new rock quarry. And McCurdy also pointed out that snowplows have a tendency to knock out speed bumps. The third and final reading of the ordinance will take place in 2 weeks. In other business, the Atlantic City Council will on Wednesday approve the third and final reading of an ordinance vacating and conveying an alley between Hemlock and Sycamore Streets south of East 18th Street. The lot will be divided equally among the four adjacent property owners. They also passed a resolution setting November 4th as the date for a public hearing on vacating a right-of-way for a stub of a road, a non-connecting section, just east of 9th and Plum Streets. A traffic stop in Red Oak at around 8 p.m. Wednesday resulted in the arrest of a Red Oak man on an OWI charge, according to Red Oak Police. 21-year-old Nathan Andrew Fournier faces a charge of OWI first offense. After being pulled over at 3rd and Elm Streets in Red Oak, he was being held in Montgomery County Jail on $1,000 bond. Two Cass County employees were injured during a collision in dense fog Wednesday morning. Iowa State Patrol Trooper Shelby McCready reports the crash happened west of Wyota just around 7:48 a.m. on Highway 83 or White Pole Road near 656th.
Vehicle 1 was operated by 38-year-old Laura Canning of Anita. She was driving a 2011 GMC Arcadia. Unit 2 was a 2007 Jeep Wrangler operated by 61-year-old Mitch Holmes, also of Anita. Holmes and Canning were both westbound on Highway 83 when Holmes stopped for a vehicle that was turning south onto the gravel road. Canning was unable to stop, striking Holmes in the rear. The Holmes vehicle then entered the north ditch where it rolled multiple times.
And Canning and Holmes both suffered non-life-threatening injuries and were transported to the Cass County Memorial Hospital by Cass County EMS and Anita Rescue. Trooper McKeedy said Canning told investigators she could not see Holmes' vehicle due to the fog, but the accident remained under investigation. Canning was ultimately cited for failure to stop in an assured clear distance, while Holmes was cited for failure to wear a seatbelt. Canning is the naturalist for Cass County Conservation Department, while Holmes is the Cass County Veterans Affairs Director. There were no county vehicles involved in that accident. And a Denison woman has admitted to stealing from the credit union where she worked. 53-year-old Brenda Jensen pleaded guilty in federal court in Sioux City to embezzling nearly $1.5 million over several years. Jensen admitted in her plea agreement that from at least May of 2012 to March of 2018, she embezzled money from the Consumer Credit Union in Denison while working there as a head teller. The credit union served Crawford, Carroll, Shelby, Ida, Monona, Sac, and Harrison counties. Jensen concealed that the embezzlement by creating fake deposits into her personal accounts. The credit union's cash loss caused it to be insolvent and a forced merger with the Sac Federal Credit Union. Jensen remains free on bond pending a sentencing date. She faces a maximum sentence of 30 years in prison and a $1 million fine. In the funeral announcements, Donna Eslick, age 89, of Atlantic, died Friday at the Good Samaritan Society in Fontenelle. Funeral services for Donna Eslick will be today at 11 o'clock at the Roland Funeral Home in Atlantic. Corrine Eads, age 81, of Adair, died October 9th at Caring Acres in Anita. Memorial services for Corrine Eads will be today at 11 o'clock at the First Presbyterian Church in Adair. Hockenberry Family Care Funeral Home has the arrangements. Terry Doherty, age 66, of Messina, died Saturday at his home. Funeral services for Terry Doherty will be today at 1 o'clock at the First Evangelical Lutheran Church in Wyota. Steen Funeral Home in Messina is in charge of the arrangements. And again, the family and funeral home encourages you to wear masks and social distancing be practiced. Gary Parkhurst, age 75, of Elkhorn, died Monday at the Salem Lutheran Home in Elkhorn. A family-led graveside service for Gary Parkhurst will be held today at 1:30 at the Rose Hill Cemetery in Kirkman. Paulie Jones Funeral Home in Harlan is assisting the family. Gary Glenn Reed, age 83, of Stewart, died October 12th at the Stewart Community Care Center. A celebration of life for Gary Reed will be held tomorrow at 10:30 at the Stewart Mount Vernon United Methodist Church. Johnson Family Funeral Home in Stewart has the arrangements. The services will be live streamed on the funeral home's Facebook page. Emily Wagner, age 99, of Orient, died Tuesday at the Community Care Center in Stewart. Graveside services for Emily Wagner will be on Friday at 11:30 at the Orient Cemetery. Steen Funeral Home of Greenfield is in charge of the arrangements. Family and funeral home request masks be worn and social distancing practiced. Gary Wilson, age 67, of Manning and formerly of Griswold, died July the 9th. Graveside services for Gary Wilson will be tomorrow at 2 o'clock at the Oakwood Cemetery in Lewis. Rican Dune Funeral Home of Griswold has arrangements. Bernice Beeson, age 94, of Harlan, died Wednesday at the Elmcrest Assisted Living Community. A private family mass of Christian burial for Bernice Beeson will be held on Saturday at the St. Peter's Catholic Church in Defiance. Paulie Jones Funeral Home in Harlan has arrangements. Ethel Hanley, age 96, of Greenfield, died Tuesday at Adair County Memorial Hospital. A mass of Christian burial for Ethel Hanley will be held Saturday at 10:30 at St. John's Catholic Church in Greenfield. Steen Funeral Home of Greenfield has arrangements. J. Kelly Patrick O'Brien, age 62, of Council Bluffs and formerly of Atlantic, died on September 14th in Fort Dodge. A celebration of life for J. O'Brien will be held Saturday from 4 until 8 p.m. at Iron Specialties in Atlantic. The Gunderson Funeral Home of Fort Dodge has arrangements. Mark Clayson, age 20, of the Oakland Manor, died October the 8th at Mercy Hospital in Council Bluffs. A memorial visitation for Mark Clayson will be held on Saturday from 4 until 6 p.m. at the Reconvene Funeral Home in Oakland. Robert John Heimerman, age 85, of Harlan, died Tuesday. No services or visitation are planned for Robert Heimerman. Burmeister Johansson Funeral Home is assisting the family. Mardell Rose Carlson, age 89, of Harlan, died Tuesday at the Hanson House in Harlan. A memorial services for Mardell Carlson will be on Tuesday at 11 a.m. at St. John's United Church of Christ, south of Lyman. Rican Dune Funeral Home in Griswold has arrangements. And John Dale Chester, age 68, of Atlantic, died Tuesday at his home. Services for John Chester are currently pending with the Hockenberry Funeral Home in Atlantic. The news was brought to you by Cass County Health System, Cass County Memorial Hospital in Atlantic. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.